Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Confessions of Me Too Moments, hosted by Beverly Black on The Woman at the Well. That was Cece Winans, Alabaster Box. You don't know what it costs to be another woman or the weight of her crown. My suggestion is you shine it and sit it down. Don't try to compete. You don't know what it costs to be her. You don't know what it costs to be me. Again, I am Beverly Black, and by all accounts, I should not be alive today. But I am here, and I am so thankful, and I am so grateful to God. As with many women that have appeared on this platform, The Woman at the Well, live on Tribe Family Channel, I would encourage you to listen in. Call 563-999-3731, or you can listen online. Follow our studio at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. The Woman at the Well on Tribe Family Channel is a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand. I first like to start off by honoring this day, 21 years ago, on this full day, we lost a nation of citizens to an awful tragedy. So I would like to pause for a moment of silence in honor of those that endured the tragedies of September 11, 2001, and those that may still be suffering from the trauma therein. My guest today, life coach, let me rephrase that. Professional and personal transformational coach, LaRonda Crosby Johnson of Baruti Enterprises. She has a commitment, and that is to training and educating with results in growth and development of individuals and organizations from the public and private sector. LaRonda, her approach is amazing because it's paramount to achieving and honoring the whole person. And that is why we are live with LaRonda Crosby Johnson on The Woman at the Well. Good evening, good afternoon and good evening. Blessings, Queen. How are you?
I am well. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for taking out the time to be here and to expound and offer your expertise. As you know, we all know that the world is recognizing the tragic events that happened 21 years ago. I looked into matters of women of color because I wanted to be able to have you expound for us where things may hit us most, because mainstream does not always offer and target services towards our specific needs, disparaging health and, results in the medical field prove that. This particular author who I'm going to be taking a little bit of information from, her name is Deepa Iyer. She writes about reckoning with trauma after 16 years It was November of 2015, and I was in Atlanta, Georgia, for a discussion with a group of South Asian lawyers and advocates about my book on post-9/11 America. As I read aloud passages about the 2012 massacre at a sink waterer in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, that claimed the lives of 6 people, I could feel my voice shaking. I soon became aware that several people were openly crying in the room. And what I am drawing out of what she is speaking of in her book and through these hate crimes that were directed towards a certain demographic. Her book, We Too Sing America, is based on the activism that she has seen. So I want your response about this particular segment from her website.
I was thinking when you were reading that I was just thinking just how often we are pushed to the side as black women and other women of color, and we hold our pain differently because there's not a lot of room made for our pain and to express our trauma all ways that we heal, right? So the ways that we need to heal are often cut off from us. So I'm writing down the name of her book. I've heard of this book, We Too Sing America, and I think that's the story or the declaration of all hyphenated people. So, you know, I heard someone say once, you know, if you are something American, then you're not fully included when people talk about America. So if you're Black America or Muslim America or Asian American, or, you know, those are hyphenated. They like separate you out from Americans. And so This We Too Sing America is such a declaration like, hey, we're here too. We're contributing too. We're feeling this pain too. So I thank you for sharing that. I'm not familiar with her specifically, but that book title is familiar, so I'm going to be picking that up.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I appreciate what you have to say about that, because you're right. Here again, these margins that we're pushed to and not honored, so all of these subgroups are created. That's being marginalized in and of itself. If you're in America and you have taken a pledge as a citizen, then you are American. If you were born here, if you are a native of this land, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're the only country that does that, Beverly. Nobody else does that. Only America. Germans are just Germans. You know, the French are just French.
Right.
You know, we are the only ones that do that, and that's certainly, you know, a lot of work on America's part to do, and some of the work you mentioned in the intro of me, and thank you so much for recognizing that part. If, you know, some of your listeners were last week, they were like, well, what is she talking about, books last week, and now she's talking about coaching? That's because all of that is who I am. And so as an integral coach, you know, that is to pull people in from those margins, right? And so the modality of coaching that I was certified in is integral coaching, which recognizes the entire person, mind, body, spirit, is engaged in the healing of that person, right? And so, you know, we often, you know, as you said, marginalize, push folks to the margin, compartmentalize. You know, we have to be one way at work. We can be another way when we worship. We're another way at home. We're another way here. And so integral coaching helps to support pulling all of yourself into this, like, one fabulous, brilliant being.
Awesome. Now, back to her website, Deepa Iyer. She says, and this is, we're talking about people that are activists. They are out there on the front lines. They're active in their communities. And we can apply this to being active in our homes, being marginalized as that subgroup of Black American women or Asian American, Indian American, Pacific Islander American. You know, we are in these subgroups and we deal with a fight every day to just have a balanced life. And I'm hoping that our listeners will pick up ways in which they can deal with the vicissitudes of life and find balance by what you offer in your coaching. And we definitely want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you. So now back to her website. She says, I have seen many activists, including myself, go through phases of trauma from numbness, fear, survivor's guilt, anxiety, fatigue, and stress. When you are positioned as someone who is expected to have the answers for how to respond, many of us cope by pushing our own emotions away to clear our minds in order to respond. How, Ms. Johnson, can we keep our own emotions and our needs priority in the midst of being activists or single mothers or professional women, go-getters, people that take on the guilt, the anxiety, the fatigue, and the stress that she expressed?
Thanks for that question. That's a great question, Beverly. And I would say that we first have to claim it for ourselves. We have to think of ourselves as worthy enough of rest, worthy enough of peace, worthy enough of joy. And so with those, whether we're activists that folks see on TV every day or if we're activists in our local communities and nobody knows our name, whether, you know, we're going about just our daily life of caretaking and all the hats that women wear, we have to recognize, and this is so very difficult for us, that we have to recognize that really we're not serving anyone well if we're not serving ourselves well. And it's easier sometimes to focus outwardly, and we've been socialized that way. You know, everybody comes first, and then you might squeeze yourself in at the end of your day if you don't collapse from fatigue and exhaustion first, right? And so we have to shift the way we think and just put our foot down and have this really me-first attitude, because all sacred texts talks about healing yourself first. You know, the African proverb says, before healing others, heal thyself. Because unless we truly are in the process of that work, we're not healing nobody else. We're really pretending. We're fooling ourselves. We're making ourselves think that busy is better, and busy is not better. Busy can just be busy. And we have to really come to a place where we stop, pause, you know, turn the light down, whatever that is for us, and claim some time for ourselves. So, you know, I've done workshops and trainings and also in my coaching. I work with women to just simply begin by giving themselves 5 minutes of quiet and stillness a day. You would be surprised how difficult that can be for a whole lot of women. They will say, LaRonda, 5 minutes? I got to sit quietly for 5 minutes? And I'm like, we got 24 hours in a day. And I didn't do the math, so I don't know how many minutes that equals up to, but I know it's more than five. So I'm supporting and I'm urging and I'm giving permission for them to just give themselves 5 minutes of quiet a day and then to check the excuses they give for not being able to do that. So you, I could write a whole book on just the excuses that I hear for the fact that I can't take 5 minutes. And so I usually push back on that a little bit and say, you know, why is it that everybody else in your life is worth 5 minutes and you're not? And they like, ooh, ouch, oops, you know, ouch, ouch, ouch. I was like, all those other people are worth so much more than you. How did that become true for you? You know, so we have to stop and be brave and courageous enough, or I should say use our courage, because we are courageous. The fact that we are makes us courageous, right? So we have to use our courage to give ourselves back to ourselves. That's how I would. That's how I approach that, because I hear it, and I started doing the coaching work that I'm doing because I was watching Sister
Well,
Dot.
Well, wait a minute. Let me have you pin that to why you started the work that you're doing.
Okay.
And let me just respond to what you just said. Phenomenal response,
ma'am.
I might add. And I'm telling you, I noticed the first time I interviewed you that we have this synergy. But now this is really no happenstance. Because when you said rest, peace, and joy, let me tell you something. I do not play about my rest.
Mm-hmm.
I do not play about my peace.
Mm-hmm.
And my children will tell you, I do not play about their joy. So you know I'm not playing about mine.
Absolutely.
The one thing that I tell people, do not, you will have crossed a very thin line if you rob my children of their joy. So if you're seeking someone's hand in marriage, as long as they are happy, they are in love, but I can tell if their joy
of course you can.
Being drained, and that's
Absolutely.
When I step in. Okay,
Absolutely.
We're gonna have problems in life, but what you're not gonna do is rob my child of their joy.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you're really not gonna touch my joy. So
right,
I really
right. And we have to be ferocious about that and fierce about that. We are usually so fearless and fierce in so other areas, and then we just open the door, let folk walk in, take our joy. I'm like, stop that. Don't do that.
Well, let's go back to what you were saying about just giving yourself 5 minutes of rest.
Yes.
I don't do anything until I've had all my rest. I don't care what's going on. The only thing that's going to get me up from not getting my proper rest is if the house is on fire.
Absolutely, right, and you got to run out. Absolutely, absolutely.
If I have to jump up from here and run because there's fire or flood, I will. Other than that, I'm not getting ready
absolutely.
To approach a whole day without all my rest. I can't do it because I know that I want to perform with my A game, and the best way for me to have my A game is to get all of my rest. And so
absolutely.
It's very important, and it
absolutely.
Attributes to your health and wellness. So I am also a publisher. You know, we are deep into these books, Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And I like your picture. You got like a gazillion books in that picture. And I'm sitting in my office, a gazillion books on these bookshelves.
Right.
And I say that because I'm the publisher of Gumbo for the Soul Publications with a focus on health and wellness. So rest is at the very top of the list. Peace and joy is added on to that rest. And then that is like a whole different level of achieving self-care. So when you go back to the women that can't take 5 minutes for self-care, but we will run to go save everybody. because we're nurturers and we want to see the best in those that we love. If they need us, we're there, but we do it at the expense and at the cost of our own selves. Now, you can't help anybody if you're not getting your proper, you know, needs
met. Absolutely. And often we find that out after something has laid us on our back. And that's the unfortunate part. You know, I'm always encouraging sisters, like, don't get down before you recognize that you are worth some time, you know, for yourself. There's this thought that to take time for my own self is selfish. That's ridiculous. There is nothing selfish about self-care. And so, you know, I would have women to, like, set a timer for 5 minutes. Now, for some people, it's going to feel like 34 hours, right? And we only got 24 in a day, but they're going to feel like they've been sitting for 34 hours because they're so used to being in motion. And there is, you know, but I encourage, you know, try just 5 minutes. And then when that becomes comfortable, increase it. I was taught, I will say, watched my mother do self-care as a little child. She was very clear about the time she was going to be actively mom and the time that was going to be just for her. And I wasn't going to interfere with the time that was for her because she would say to me, LaRonda, now this is my time. You know,
okay.
As a little child, I was like, well, do moms do that? Do they have, like, time for themselves? Because as the child, I'm thinking that you are only here to serve my well-being, right? But as I grew, I was like, oh, thank you, Mom, for, like, showing me that early.
Wow.
You know, yeah, and I had actually one of my best lessons around self-care actually came from a man who said that he had what was called special rest evenings, where he and his spouse, I don't even know if they were married at the time, but he and the woman he was living with, they would have one day a week in the evening where they would only focus on the things that brought them joy.
Mm.
And he would, we worked together. And he, you know, on this Wednesday, usually he'd hang around a little bit. On Wednesday, he'd be out the door. And I started noticing that. And I was like, where is he going in such a rush? And so I asked him, and he was like, oh, because Wednesday is special rest night. And I was like, okay, I don't know what was on your morning agenda, but you need to come in my office and tell me what is a special rest evening. and started having my own. So, you know, I encourage your listeners, you know, to really take some time. It improves every facet of your life. Your spiritual life, your physical life, your mental health, your emotional well-being. It improves all of that, and you have more of you to lend to all those other things that you love. So that, you know, that's my self-care spiel. I can't say it loud enough because I watch us fall by the wayside when we don't, you know?
Well, let me respond, and then I want you to tell us why you got into coaching. But you said something that is so important, and here again, I'm coming from a position of health and wellness. You said, you know, you're paraphrasing that you're, you know, bringing these matters to women's attention before wanting them to act before something happens. Okay.
Yeah.
So I would like to be even more transparent about the somethings that happen to Black women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do understand when someone has a heart attack. Well, Black mm-hmm. women, guess what? We're right up there at the highest rate of heart attacks, strokes, hypertension, diabetes, the veins when they're filled with calcium. So there's a myriad of issues and problems that happen when we're not well-balanced, and the emotional toll plays its role on us, and then we become, some of us, I would say. I would speak for myself. I did. I became an emotional eater. You know, and by the time I got to 200 or so pounds, I was back up to my pregnancy weight. And when I lost the weight, I remember someone asking me, Beverly, where'd all that weight go? And, you know, me, I've been slim and trim. I'm a Slim Jim, so I've been slim and trim all my life. Now, what weight is she talking about? Oh, since I'm inside the frame, I can't see the picture. It's the emotional eating that you did, Beverly. Remember when you dropped the husband off at work and you dropped the kids off at school and then you went to the Chinese buffet because you said you deserved it because that's how you responded to that stress? That weight. Okay. So we have to check ourselves when it comes to our lack of exercise and diet and mental and emotional well-being. Now, LaVon, thank you so much for allowing me. Yes. Thank you so much for allowing me to even have this conversation with you to expound to our listeners who are tuned in to Confessions of Me Too Moments, hosted by yours truly, Beverly Black, on The Woman at the Well. My guest is professional and personal transformational coach LaRonda Crosby Johnson. What brought you into coaching?
Well, I was sort of given the opportunity, and I resisted it at first. So I was busy living my life, doing my thing, you know, or five things, because you know how I do. So I got the opportunity to participate in this program, was working for an organization at the time, and they were looking to shift their management style from one that was very hierarchical to one that was more universal, and so they wanted to use coaching as a form of management. And I was in management at this organization, and they were like, you know, you need to go to this training. It was a year-long training. Like, you need to go to this training and learn how to do this because we're going to use this as a modality of management here. And I was like, no, I'm not, because I'm busy. So they were, I was like, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm busy. And they were paying for all of it, which was a complete blessing. So how in the world could I say no? But, you know, initially I did. And then we were able to work out something that would give me, you know, free up some of my time there to participate, because it was like a super intense one-year program. And I was like, how do I do that? How do I serve in this position with this organization well? And then I still, you know, was running my coaching and training business and had a kid and a family. I mean, you know, it was a lot going on. But anyway, I went, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go. They paying for it. Just be quiet and go. Beverly, it changed my life.
Whoa.
And it allowed me to then be able to help and participate and be a part of other people changing their life. And so once I went, and we were talking earlier about how Black women and other women of color often get left out of the conversation. Well, we were left out, and still in big numbers tend to be, we're left out of that whole coaching environment as well. So I walk into a room of, you know, maybe 20 people. I see myself one other time. And I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. But as I participated in that training, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is it. This is what my sisters need. So I have to stay here, and I have to get this so I can take it to us. So that, you know, my motivation was like, oh, my gosh, somebody else is getting all this good stuff, and we are not getting it. So I'm going to stay here, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to see what I can do with it. And I didn't do anything with it right away. It was a few years after I completed the training where I really decided that I needed to add that coaching component to some of the training and workshop development that I was doing. And so I basically got in this to help give voice to help people discover and develop what was already inside of them, you know, to move them toward their own truth. Because I, you know, we're brilliant and we are magnificent.
Right.
And we are innately talented, and we miss that because it's so often covered up by all the other stuff that falls on us. So I was like, I'm staying in here. I'm going to get everything these people got to give me, and then I'm going to take this and do what I need to do to it and with it and bring it to my folks. And so that's how I ended up being a coach.
Wow. I love the fact that, you know, of course you're busy. Visionaries are. And we don't have time for anybody else's whims and ideas because we have a full plate ourselves.
Exactly.
Half the time we didn't come to your job to work. We came there because we're going to do our level best, but you can best believe we have a side hustle, okay?
Exactly.
We're using
our
phone on our breaks and our lunch. Don't come talking to me if I have logged off.
Oh, Beverly, yes,
I'm,
you know it.
I'm multitasking here. I'm not
you
just here 8 hours. I've got, you know, time that I'm dividing into my own interest. And so I
absolutely
love the fact that, you know, you gave them that boss answer. I am busy, okay? You send somebody else to do all of that.
That's
okay?
Exactly.
My hands are full with your company and my company.
Yeah, absolutely. But we have to ask for what we want, because the other thing was that there wasn't initially going to be time allowed away from the work there to do this training. The expectation was you're going to do this whole job that you have and you're going to do this training. And when I looked at what it was going to involve, and part of it was we went to physical class a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday once a quarter, and then there was tons of, you know, work between our in-person classes. And I thought, okay, if I'm going to be the week that I'm going to be with them on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm not coming in here and be with you on Monday and Tuesday.
Well, you are, you know, spot on. We have to learn to ask for what we want. We have to see one thing about us, and I say us as black women, so no one get offended, but we bear the brunt of this nation on our backs from history. So don't come for me thinking that you can change my mindset. We are on the shoulders and backs of our people, and we continue bending and ensuring that we put them in office and we run their businesses and we clean their homes and we manage their storefronts. But we're last when it comes to our needs, and we must take that seat at the table and put forth what will be that win-win conversation to make it work. And I applaud you for that win-win conversation, for making it work, for coming to the table. So, okay, well, these are my needs in order to balance your needs, and we're not dividing LaRonda in half. There won't be, you know, one LaRonda over here full time and one LaRonda over there at the works at the year-long seminar or curricula full time. And
right.
So getting that seat at the table to negotiate our terms and conditions is very important. And we have to manage our emotions in order for us to be taken serious in having these conversations. So
absolutely.
I applaud you in that regard.
Absolutely.
And then I want to applaud
absolutely.
You. Mm-hmm. Then I want to applaud you in the regard of you felt compelled to get that information, knowing it's a year-long commitment, but you wanted it because you saw the benefit in bringing it back to our community at the cost of the employment that you're already undertaking. So the benefit is win-win because you're still on the payroll and you're adding to your cachet and knowledge base. Plus, here's the part that I love. You're talking about cooperative economics when you go learn something somewhere else and bring it back to your community.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things that we don't integrate in our conversations are these cooperative economics.
Yeah. We really need to, you know, I'm sitting at my desk right now, Beverly, and I have a Happy Kwanzaa card on my desk. Now, it's September, and we all know Kwanzaa is in December, but I kept it on my desk all year this year because those principles are for every day. They're not just you know, December 26th to January 1st. And when I negotiated that opportunity for myself, it was so important to me because I watched us die. I've watched us not care for ourselves. I've watched us not claim our own and walk in our own power. And when I saw that integral coaching could do that for somebody, I thought, there's no way I'm leaving here until I get all of this. And then, you know, as it would turn out for the last quarter of that that training, I ended up getting laid off from the job that paid for me to go. I ended up getting laid off from that job. The training, the coaching program is paid in full. So I continued on in the coaching program and then had that to add to, you know, my list of things I know how to do now.
Wow.
So ask for what you need. Advocate for yourself. You know, this whole journey is about showing up in our full self, living authentically. And I think that is the foundation and the basis for the work I do as a coach. It is the work I do as an author. You know, my characters live this thing out. You know, sometimes it's easier to see ourselves, you know, through a character's eyes versus looking in the mirror at first, right? So, you know, the work I do as a writer, you know, champions women, you know, allows the reader to see women in their process and in their journey. So it's all like one big old thing that all flows into each other.
It's all integrated and interconnected. And
absolutely.
I'm glad you brought up your writing because I'm going to go to an open letter to Black professional women. This is Dr. Kim Harris Lee, a executive coach. And I know that in your line of work as a professional and personal coach, you can help us to identify with the perspective that this open letter has because you are a professional Black woman. I am. We are a village that is connected to other sisters. You don't have to be professional, layperson, homemaker. But we are the village. And so this is an open letter to Black professional women, but I want to apply it to the entire queendom.
Absolutely.
So help us to address how we can amass what this sister is saying in this open letter. She says, what if you could bring you, the best version of you, to work every day? What if your energy was not directed at trying to fit, but rather laser-focused on demonstrating with ease all that is you on your very best day every day? What if you were courageous enough to explore work situations differently, taking the lead and setting the tone and exploring uncharted possibilities. So please expound, because that's basically what you were just talking about.
I love that. I love that. And I'm so glad you included, you know, took out the professional and just opened it up for the queendom, because no matter where we are stationed, all of that applies to us all the time. So I'm thank you for that, because, you know, sometimes we put these labels and tags, and that just further excludes us and separates
you
us from each other. So
come on.
When I heard that, the first thought that came to my mind when I listened to that portion of the letter by Dr. Harris Lee, I was like, we have to overcome our fear. We have to overcome the fear that we're not enough. We have to overcome the fear that somebody's going to say no to us. Nobody has ever died because somebody said no. My father used to say to me all the time, all they can do is say no, which means that's a small thing. Then you go to the next person, because somebody's going to say yes if you keep asking long enough, right? So fear often keeps us from our best self. We're afraid of what somebody might think. Okay, let them think it. Please let them think it. You know, so we have to overcome fear. And however fear shows up in your life, get some support about knocking that fear down. The fear may not ever disappear, and that's okay, but we got to learn how to walk with it then, so that we don't rob ourselves of all these amazing things that can come to us and that we can share back with the world. So, you know, I would say overcome fear, however that shows up in your life, and that may be working with a coach. It may be finding a therapist who is culturally appropriate for you. It may be gathering 3, 4, 5 other sisters together to talk this thing out, because there is, we said last time we talked, there is such power in us being together. And I have several sister circles, right? And so I would encourage, you know, in addition to that 5 minutes of quiet and stillness you give yourself every day, form a sister circle. There is no greater strength and power than when we come together to walk this thing out. So, you know, overcoming fear, getting a circle of sisters or some support, however that looks for you, to walk through this thing, and then say yes to yourself more. Like, we deny ourselves and say no so much. And it's like, say yes sometimes. You know, Shonda Rhimes wrote a whole book on it. Go get the book. Read her Year of Yes, or How I Said Yes for a Year, or something like that. Because it opens up opportunity. And sometimes, because we have all these old and no longer useful messages about who we are and who we should be and how we should be in our head, that we never stop to think that they no longer serve us. So as Black women, we've been programmed and given a lot of messages, and often from people who had our best intention at heart, or who loved us and were just trying to keep us safe and support us. But we have to check what we believe from time to time to see if it still works with who we are today. Some of the things that we've been practicing, they don't serve us anymore. So be grateful for having had them, release them, and move on. So that answered the question. I don't even know if that answered the question, Beverly. I'm sorry. I got caught up.
Oh, that answers the question. Yes, she got caught up, and we love it. Okay, LaRonda.
I got caught up because I'm so passionate about that.
Dropping gems, y'all.
I got caught up. I'm like, did she ask you all that? She didn't ask you all that.
I told you, own it, take it. And I love it because, you know, it makes perfect sense, and we must address our needs. So,
yes.
And it's the perfect segue. While grappling with career changes and obstacles is not unique to women of color, we sometimes face special challenges due to the micro inequities that are part of our lived experience. These experiences can impact how you show up. It's a natural response to what feels like a lack of understanding or acceptance. But you cannot become a victim of experiences that signal bias and a lack of awareness. Now you were just saying that we're still holding on to things that no longer serve us. She says, we cannot become a victim of experiences.
Mm.
See, these experiences, well, this is the way we've been doing it. You know,
mm-hmm.
we weave that into our family experiences
mm-hmm.
so that we become complacent with that thing that we need to change. Well, this is the way we've been doing it. Well, this is how I am. I ain't changing for nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Or we give other people permission to stay in their funk. Well, you
mm-hmm.
know how so-and-so is. Yeah, I do, and I don't care.
Yeah, oh, my
okay?
gosh, yes, yes.
I'm not going to kowtow to how so-and-so is because it's about opening your mind and thinking at a higher level. So go ahead. I want you to take it. How can we open our minds and think at a higher level and stop ascribing to what used to be that's not serving us? How do we take control
right.
of that? Because one step at a time, and sometimes it's that hardest, the hardest step is the first one. Sometimes.
Always. Always. It's always the hardest step. And, you know, I would say make our choices with our entire self in mind. Think about how this choice is going to impact you physically, spiritually, emotionally, economically, all of that. Take your entire – we leave so many pieces of ourselves out of decisions sometimes, and we'll focus only on one thing. Like I've met so many women, black women, other women, who, you know, went and got a career that they absolutely hated. Like I met a woman who was an engineer. She was high in her field, you know, making tons of money, all this going on. Hated the job she had for 30 years because she wanted to be a kindergarten teacher. I was like, what? You want to be a kindergarten teacher? She's like, yeah, but my family was like, no, we don't do teachers. We only do these other kind of, you know. So I say that to say that we have to really use, you know, think about ourselves as we're making choices and make our choices you know, that include our entire self. One of the parts in the letter was like, what would it be like if I could show up my full self on a job? Well, stop taking these jobs where you can't.
Oh, Lord, y'all ain't ready for this, sister.
Stop it, you know, and then get mad at the job, like the job is going to do a different thing for you. No, this is the job, and this job requires you can't bring your whole self, so stop going there, you know. We really have to start standing in our own power, and that's why I mentioned earlier fear, because we have to get to a point where we trust and believe with everything we have that what we need is going to be provided, and we don't have to walk afraid all the time. We don't have to walk afraid all the time. And when you said that, you know, about these choices that women are making and how we have to show up and see ourselves, you know, I thought about the character Morgan in my book Unveiled, who is on a complete self-awareness journey. She finds out that who she thought her father was wasn't her father. She had to change her name. I mean, she goes through all these ways of pulling apart and moving out of the way the dreams that other people had for her until she connects all of herself. Right? And so I thought, you know, when you said that, I was like, wow, Beverly has, you know, really helped me to see that, you know, the work I do as a coach and the work I do as a writer are so intertwined. You know, Morgan is discovering herself. She's on a self-discovery journey in Natural Nia. You know, the little sister who's watching her big sister transform. First, she transforms physically. She goes from her press and curl to an afro. So she watches her big sister transform physically, not even recognizing in the beginning that that act that her sister did is now transforming how she sees the world. So we have to learn.
Oh, wow.
You said, oh, wow.
Wow. Well,
yeah,
I
that all came
that
to me when you were reading that letter. I was like, oh, my gosh, I get it.
But look at the transformation, because you were saying that your mother demonstrated to you,
yes,
her strength. Your character, Nia, is being demonstrated to by her big sister. So we are mirrors of life, and we
yeah.
must understand that it's how we show up. How we show up is on display as to how we prepared for this moment. So what are we doing in our closet? What are we doing? Because back to the open letter, what if you could show up to work as the best version of yourself every day?
Mm-hmm.
So Nia sees her sister go from pressing curls to
mm-hmm.
an afro. She's seen the transformation and the liberation of her taking on womanhood. So
yeah.
with your book illustrating Nia's life, how do we take on our essence and our own womanhood, walking in our own, you know, essence?
Yeah, you know, first I would say,
like
Beverly, recognizing that we have a right to it. Nia had to muster up enough courage in herself to go against her mother's way of thinking, to
mm-hmm.
say, you know what, Mommy, that's good, and that used to work for me, but now this works for me. So we have to be brave enough to sometimes say, thank you, Mommy, thank you, Daddy, thank you, sister, thank you, whoever. That's not working for me right now. This is what it is. And be okay when we have to walk alone. So, you know, as you read the story of Natural Nia, she got repositioned in her family for a moment there. She got left
Ooh.
Out of some things because her mother refused to take her to get ice cream because she wouldn't press her hair. And she was like, that's fine, I'll stay at home. You know, so sometimes we got to be able to know that if this thing is speaking to us, We gotta hold on to it, because we only got our journey. We don't got mommy's journey, daddy's journey, sister's journey. We only have our own journey. So, you know, when you said that about, you know, life, art mirroring life, that is true for all of us, whether we're writers, whether we're bakers, whether we're, you know, kindergarten teachers, whether we're moms, that is our art. You know, that is our art.
Yes,
you know, I watch
yes.
mom braid little girl's hair. You know, I think about my mom combing my hair. That's art, you know.
Oh, yes.
And so we have to learn to express that and show up our full selves everywhere we go. And if they don't have room for your full self, then they don't have room for you.
Well, and I love what your book represents in terms of Nia being principled. See, I am a principled woman, okay? If I'm not
mm-hmm.
going to have ice cream, well, then fine, I'm not going to have ice cream. But I bet
mm-hmm.
you what I do have is this afro I'm rocking, see?
Right, exactly. exactly.
Nia may not be going out for ice cream, but Nia is walking in her own essence and rocking that afro. And so I love the fact that you are using your characters and your book to strengthen us as women. Give us the titles of your book and tell us how writing is actual therapy for, you know, the release that we're all in need of. Journaling, writing, even you know, singing, outward expressions. But in your case, being this phenomenal award-winning author mm-hmm. on top of being a life coach, professional and personal, tell us how, while art does mirror life, how do you use your books and your characters for our strength?
Oh, thanks, Beverly, for that. So Unveiled is one of the books, and Natural Nia is the other, and they're both, you know, available at marcusbookstore.com or Barnes & Noble or Amazon, ebook and print. So those are available for you. But I think for, you know, for me, writing allows me to pause the world and allow the focus just to be with what I'm creating. And that is so helpful. I'm not a huge journaler, but I write something, you know, when I'm developing these stories, I get to shut the world off for a minute, and I get to create another one where I can explore myself in a way that I don't get to explore myself in this world. And so, you know, people think, you know, you got to do some special thing to write, and yes, there's ways to hone your craft and to really, you know, work on the tenets of writing, but everybody can write. So write. If that is what feels like balm to your soul, you know, write. So I find that in writing for myself. Like, I had a girlfriend, when I talked to her about how writing made me feel, she said to me, she said, "Oh, that's the way you commune with God." And I was like, "Wow." That's what I said, Beryl. I said, I was like, "I never looked at it like that." And she was like, "LaRonda, that's exactly what that is." And I was like, "Whoa." You know, so I use writing for that. You know, I get in this relationship with these characters, and we go on this trip together, and the fact that all of y'all come with us is wonderful. But I would write and was writing when nobody was reading my writing. I was writing. So, you know, I am so appreciative and grateful that now that I have been brave enough to share my work, that y'all are coming for the ride with me. You are reading Unveiled. You are reading Natural Nia. I love that, but I would still be writing if nobody was reading it.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, just to speak to journaling, I'm not a big fan of journaling, but let me tell you something. And this is for my listeners as well as you, LaRonda. Journaling helped me get things out that I was holding inside, and then I was able to go back and read in my journals, in my past journals, I was able to measure my growth to see how far I had come. And so, like, growing up in, you know, the San Francisco Bay Area, East Palo Alto, Woodside High School, Kenyatta College, my friends and I, we, I got to represent the Bay Area. I'm sitting in Vegas right now. It's only 96 degrees, but I'm California, San Francisco Bay Area all day.
Absolutely.
Born and raised. But, you know, my good friend and I, we spent a afternoon on the way back from Fresno as teenagers journaling while everyone else was asleep. And that was my first experience with journaling. I would write stories, make up poems and jingles. My brother and I would write jingles for commercials growing up. So my mother kept a lot of books around and absolutely demanded that we had proper command of the English language, as with, you know, our parents from the Bay Area, because they wanted us to take advantage of the greatest opportunities that were offered to us.
However,
that journaling stopped right there until later in life when I was married and was raising children. And then I suggested to the children to journal, get things out. I started journaling, getting it out. I still have those journals. I have like 8 journals. I'm not a journaler. But in a time where I needed to get things out, I did. Turn around when my eldest daughter asked me for some motherly advice. The only thing I could tell her was to journal. Get it out. Get it out.
It's a release, right? Yeah.
There you go.
A release and an opportunity to reflect. Yeah, those were the two words I wrote when you were sharing that. I was like, release and reflection. That is the power of journaling, and it helps you mark what is happening, because we're so, what do you say, if you're in the picture, you can't see the frame? What, Beverly, say that again. You know, you in the picture,
well,
about the picture in the frame.
When you're inside the frame, you can't see the picture.
There you go.
See?
Yeah, and that's our lives. And so, you know, if you journal and get it out, then you can look back and see, oh, wow, I did or I didn't, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, it's certainly and there's a lot of, you know, different ways to journal. There's no right way, wrong way. I think what you
there
said
you
was key and really worked for me is, like, journal when you need to journal. Maybe you don't need to journal every day. You know, journal when a thing happens and you need to get that thing out so you can look at it, and not holding it in, not holding it in.
Now, what did you say journaling is reflection and what?
Release. That when you were
release?
Talking and sharing your journaling info, I was like, oh, my gosh, journaling as release and reflection, a way to mark progress. That was the one that I made.
Wow, LaRonda Crosby Johnson, y'all. See, she can take things out of thin air and turn it into life mentoring moments. And that right there was profound, sister. This is a life mentoring moment. I want to remind our listeners that you are tuned in to Confessions of Me Too Moments, hosted by Beverly Black on The Woman at the Well. My guest is LaRonda Crosby Johnson, professional and personal transformational coach. Now, I don't know if you tuned in early enough to hear me say that I am an overcomer. I've been back on the radio airwaves, been back on the radio airwaves for about a month now, from a short hiatus. We'll be going back on a short hiatus at the end of October. So if you've heard me say on any of the shows that I am an 8-year crack survivor, I used to be addicted to crack cocaine. Now I'm on the airwaves. I am an award-winning author. I am the compiler of the Gumbo for the Soul anthology series. I have a show with Marshall Thompson of The Shy Life. I'm saying all of this, ladies and gentlemen, after I had an 8-year crack addiction. Do you hear the point? That is the point. Being an overcomer. I'm not talking about the achievements. God can turn anything into what he wants. He'll take what you love and make you do what he wants. I'm not talking about the achievements. I'm talking about the overcoming. Overcoming. Getting out of whatever it is that you are in. And first you have to want it. So, LaRonda, I'm going to come back to you with the final piece that I want to extrapolate from an open letter to professional black women by Dr. Kim Harris Lee. She says, and I believe that this equates to you as well, LaRonda. She says, I am passionate about helping women of color take bold action to authentically achieve more visibility, connectivity, influence, and success without compromise. Just like Nia, she would stay home by herself and miss out on whatever the other kids are enjoying because she's standing on her principle and she's walking in her purpose. Now, I'm going to read the rest of it, and then I want you to take it away. Give us your final thoughts. Let everyone know where they can get your books and connect with you for coaching. And you don't have a time limit, but she says, I am passionate about helping women of color take bold action to authentically achieve more visibility, connectivity, influence, and success without compromise. This requires a deep understanding of yourself and those around you. My value proposition is twofold. I bring the perspective of someone who has been there, and I coach from a vantage point of real experience. As a result, I'm able to genuinely acknowledge what you are thinking and feeling. Secondly, I bring objectivity, which allows us to talk candidly about what it means to be self-aware and in touch with the experiences you create with every interaction. LaRonda, expound.
You know what came to my mind? I guess this must be my proverb day, because I thought he who learns teaches. And so I will take out the he and put she, since we're talking to us right now. And I coach from a place of, just like I told you, you know, went to that class, learned, came out, taught it, right? Because we all ought to bring our lived experience into every interaction that we have. And so one of the things that is so important, and one of the things that has been useful to me as a coach, is being able to connect heart to heart, soul to soul, mind to mind. We have to get out of our own way enough that we allow space for other folks to come and pour into our lives when they are coming with an intention of good. And so I always encourage, you know, us taking moments to share, seeking out those, you know, the folks in our community who understand the importance of showing up authentically. You know, read some stuff, listen to, you know, you have a show on the radio, people can listen and hear and learn. You know, seek out those tools that support you in your walk, because nobody can walk it for you. You know, as a coach, I see myself more as the person who will say, hey, look over there. Or maybe, you know, turn the light on over here so you can see this a little bit more clearly. But it's really all about bringing that person to a place where they use the tools that we learn and we share together, but that they are then able to take them and go live, right? Coaching is a very time-specific, like it's different from therapy in the sense that you can be in therapy for years and years and years and years. My typical coaching program is, you know, anywhere from 9 to 18 months, because in that time we're doing some work, and that work is giving you the tools that you then need to go and walk your journey, right? That's what it is, and walk it in a way that you get to show up, you know, without compromise, as it mentioned in the open letter, that you get to show up fully yourself in every arena, that you don't have to leave little pieces of yourself at the door to walk in a room. Right, and then come pick it up later, that you can walk in with your whole self. So that's what I heard when I saw that, and that's on all of us to do, right? You know, it's like there's no point in getting this information and keeping it to yourself. You know, share it. That's what we're here to do. And I had amazing guides, you know, I call in my life, and wonderful supporters, and still do. And so when I can show up and be that to another sister, I feel like, you know, I'm on purpose. So, you know, I'm at BaruttiEnterprises.com. There's more information on my website about the coaching and the type of coaching and program that's available for that. And then, you know, we've already mentioned the books Unveiled and Natural Neo, which are works of fiction, but they have enough real life in them that they can support, you know, those who read it.
And I love the book covers. The they say, read me. You want to know me. And I mean, I love the book covers. You know, I emailed you, hey, I want to know your book cover artist. So
yes,
I'm not just saying this. I'm for real about this.
Yes,
and
you did.
So
yes.
Well, I really want to thank you for taking out the time to explain your perspective on honoring the whole person. And we understand why you are a professional and a personal transformational coach. Thank you so much for taking route, because you definitely took a class and really gave your commitment to bring something useful back to our community for you know, that cooperative economics for building that balance that we all need, the mind, the body, and the spirit. That's what makes us whole. So we have to address all of the elements of who we are. And let's not forget rest, peace, joy. LaRonda recommended at the beginning of this show those three simple things: to get enough rest, amass your peace, and embrace joy.
Yes.
5 minutes is all she's asking. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, don't get up until you get all your sleep. But some of y'all have dived into
baby steps, Beverly. Baby steps. Baby steps.
Don't listen to me. I'm 63 and retired, so of course I'm going to get my rest, okay? But sisters, I love y'all. And LaRonda, sister, thank you so much, queen, for being here. I love you much. And of course, it was such an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to meet you in person a few years ago and be introduced by you and presented to the event that you all were hosting, the book event. So I really want to thank you for your energy, for your embrace as a sister. And I want to send this song out to all of our sisters. We have to take care of each other. We are our sister's keeper. Now, I will be back here on Confessions of Me Too Moments next Sunday. My guest will be Paulette Henson. This sister is going to be bringing it as well. So we're going to keep the conversation flowing. It's all about speaking truth to power. And we're going to stay in the vein of LaRonda Crosby Johnson, honoring the whole person. Again, what is your website and your books so we can get them?
Website, BarutiEnterprises.com. Books are Unveiled and Natural Nia, and they're available at Marcus Bookstore, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon. And thank you, Beverly, for this opportunity.
It's my honor. And I just want our listeners to know two things. Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, Enterprises, Baruti. Am I saying it right?
Baruti, yeah, you are Baruti. It's a Botswana word that means, a Cameroonian word that means teacher.
Well, you have definitely taught class today on The Woman at the Well, and I want to thank you once again for being our guest. And then it was one more thing I was going to say. Oh, Marcus Books, for all of you that are listening, see, this sister is shouting out a historically black owned and operated bookstore. This is cooperative economics. Yeah, we know Amazon and Barnes and Noble and this
mm-hmm.
and that and a third.
Absolutely.
But mm-hmm. Marcus Books has been around for years, for decades. And so we need to support our black owned and operated businesses, because mm-hmm. I am sorry to see a bookstore close in Los Angeles. Eshawan Books will be closing at the end of this year. And
Marcus Bookstore is online now. Yeah, so if you're not in the Oakland, San Francisco Bay Area, you can go to marcusbooks.com now. They are online. You can order your books right from there.
Awesome.
And they send them to your
awesome.
House, just like Amazon. They send them to your house.
Well, I would definitely be in touch with them. Thank you for shouting Marcus Books out there in Oakland and San Francisco, as I understand, right?
Just in Oakland now, the store in Oakland.
Okay. So
mm-hmm.
historically, yep. they were in San Francisco.
Started in San Francisco,
and,
absolutely.
Yes, in the Hayden-Ashbury mm-hmm. district, I believe. Well, thank you so much. I could go on and on. Confessions of Me Too Moments, hosted by Beverly Black. Yours truly on The Woman at the Well with LaRonda Crosby Johnson. Thank you once again, and I'm dedicating this song to all of you out there. Be sure to visit GumboForTheSoulInternational.com or listen to our archives at blogtalkradio.com/GumboForTheSoul. I'll be back next week. Be blessed and be a blessing. Thank you, LaRonda.
Thank you. Take care,
sis. Take care. God bless.